And I have with me on the line Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Thank God, thank God. Good to be back on air.
Good, you came back. Yeah, we all came back. We had a long vacation, yeah, but it's summer, you know.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right, so, you always go in now with the kids and everything. It's important, too.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It helps to the spirit.
That's right. Gives you the rejuvenation that when you're ready to start again for the year, you're good to go.
Yeah, and Slichot is coming at the end of August, right?
That's right, that's right. Well, if you go and think about it, Rosh Hashanah is the first week of September. It's very early.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everything. You know, Hanukkah, for example, is at the end of November.
Very early.
Very early. But we accept it whenever it comes.
That's it. So Parashat Re'eh.
Parashat Re'eh, you know, Re'eh means to see. And that's what the big star of portion talks about. He says, God says to Moses, to the people of Israel, I place before you today a blessing and a curse. And he explains in the three star portion where the blessings are going to be given and which mountain the curses are going to be given. And God also asked that the Jews, a temple should be established, the place that God will choose to make dwell his name there, where they'll bring up the sacrifices, for example. The mitzvah of charity, of tzedakah, obligates the Jew to aid needy families with a gift or a loan.
Yeah.
And on the sabbatical year, which is every seventh year, all loans are to be forgiven. And then the week start portion ends with the laws of the three pilgrimage festivals, you know, Passover, Shavuot, and Sukkot, when everyone goes to see and be seen before God in the Holy Temple.
Yeah.
Now, very interesting to note in this week's Torah portion, you know, there's always the dilemma that people have, or some do, some don't, this idea of, you know, who gets fed first? Do we feed a human being first? Do we feed an animal before the human being?
Yeah.
What are the laws? And what are the Torah laws?
And it's more, who do you give your money to?
That's true. And we see in this Torah portion, the Torah requires that we feed our animals ahead of ourselves. You know, it says, wake up and feed the animals before indulging in your breakfast.
Yeah.
Now, this doesn't mean that we must feed our animals with our last piece of bread while we die of starvation. Because human life, which is brought in everywhere, takes absolute precedence over animal life.
And for sure, pikuach nefesh is before the animals.
Absolutely, correct. But if we have sufficient funds to feed both, animals should be fed before we have our meal time. So very simply, the Torah is giving a humane message to put the needs of dependent creatures before our own. Now, if we go and look into this a little bit deeper, into the Kabbalistic viewpoint, or the Hasidic philosophy, we know that oftentimes what seems to be a very simple statement in the Torah actually has a deeply spiritual subtext. Now, on a metaphorical level, I think one of my daughters decided to pick up the other phone.
Don't worry.
We each have an inner animal, a base nature that is entirely self-absorbed. And our task in life is to subdue our animal nature by reining in our impulses, or to sublime our animal, you know, by making it more soulful, making it more, you know, that it has the feeling of a neshama. Now, this task is the reason for the soul's descendants from the heavenly abode, and where it resides before we were born. And if you think about it, the soul was perfectly content to serve God in the spiritual realm, where it beheld, you know, the divine before it came down into this world, trembled in awe, and it melted under the greatness of God. But it was given the mission to descend from heaven and enter the human body into our bodies, and its purpose is not merely to continue to serve God on its own, though, if you think about it, he remains the soul's greatest joy is to serve God on a constant basis, but teach the body and train our base animal nature to serve God. So it's not only that he's our soul, which it loves to do is servicing to serve God, but it now has the other mission of enticing and getting our body to want to be able to do that as well. So our soul would like nothing better than to seclude itself all day in prayer, in meditation. But the soul didn't come to this world to improve itself. It came to perfect itself much more freely in the spiritual realm from which it came.
Like a higher level.
Correct. And it descended to this material world to refine our animalistic urges, to transform and self-absorb being into the selfless one. It must teach the animal the value of being mitzvot and learning Torah. And this is the soul's priority. It must come first. So, yes, the neshama, the soul, wants to go up, but it realizes that it has another purpose. The reason why it comes down here is to be able to transform our animalistic body. Now, it doesn't mean that it's going to transform our animalistic body, that we're going to become all of a sudden tzaddikim, righteous people. We all have temptations, and we all have desires, and we all have wants. But the purpose of the neshama, the soul, is to be able to help us understand, to be able to give us the right tools and the right path, the way that we're supposed to go down. And so the question is always asked, okay, so what's the benefit for the soul? Why would the soul want to come down? What's the benefit to the soul that he's going to teach us our animalistic body? So what is the soul bothered about that? He's up there in heaven. The soul is under the guidance and the ray of light of God. But there is no question that it's a difficult challenge for the soul. Because it wants to soar, you know, to transcend the levels of sacred inspiration and, you know, always constantly being under godly light. But instead, it's made to spend 8 to 10 decades working with us, working with our stubborn, lazy, ignorant animal being that we have inside us. So it rarely doesn't. However, it realizes that in return, the soul reaches a level that it could never have achieved on its own. Because whether it's before birth, the soul indulges itself with spiritual, indulgences, the soul is now devoted to a cause greater than itself. Stop thinking about itself. And after 120 years, when the soul returns to its heavenly home, it will climb far higher than before. Because if it would just be there on a constant basis, on the godliness, yes, it would get godliness. Yes, it would get everything that it needs. But it would stay in one space, would stay in one spot. It wouldn't necessarily go to a higher level. The fact that it comes down into the world, and it works in our body, and it helps us, and it constantly makes us go to higher levels, with that, what happens? In turn itself, the soul, when it goes up back to heaven, goes to a higher level. So by training the body to serve God, the soul carved out a little piece of material world for God by creating a place for God in this lower world. And this was God's original intention in creation. And who was given this great opportunity to do that? It was the soul. The soul played a huge role in enabling us to be able to make a dwelling place for God. So the soul's descendant to teach a selfless animal like us to become selfless. And in the process, by doing that, he learned the lesson, which is that sacred as its spiritual things that it's used to were all before it came down. It was in a subtle sense, a selfish pursuit. Now, because it was all about him. Now the soul reaps the benefit of its effort and learns the lesson it labored with us to teach us. That in the end, we are always rewarded when we put others first. And that is the reason why, number one, if there are people that need help, we help them. Sometimes even we help them before we help ourselves, if we're able to. And number two, we always help the animals before we help us. Because death gives us a bigger reward. And not only for the reward, but that gives us the idea and the lesson Although we're not supposed to only be selfish. We think about other people as well. And that's what this week's Torah portion teaches us. You know, in this week's Torah portion, we look and we talk about the curses and the blessings. And even though we have all the curses that are talked in this week's Torah portion, there's always beautiful things that could be taken out from this week's Torah portion. And that's what this week's parsha teaches us.
And Rabbi, what about services in Shaarei Shamayim?
We have services Friday evening, 7 o'clock, and Shabbat morning at 9:30, and Sunday morning we have at 8:15, followed by breakfast, and Monday and Thursday we have as well, 7:15 in the Parish House, which is the community morning service.
Rabbi, I wanted to thank you.
Thank you, and wishing you a Shabbat Shalom, and have a wonderful week to come.
Thank you.
Be well. Bye-bye.